You'll be looking for verse 1 in John chapter 1. It has been said that you have the right to remain silent, that anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. It's been said that you have the right to have an attorney present during any questioning, and if you cannot afford an attorney, the state will appoint one for you free of charge if you wish. It has been said, and my hope is that you have not heard this alongside one of the highways here in our wonderful state. You see, this is the Miranda right, or the Miranda law. It does not protect you and I from being arrested. It only protects us from incriminating ourselves during questioning. I think many times life brings to us circumstances that causes us to question. It causes us to question God. It causes us to question ourselves. It causes us to question others. And there are key times in our lives that it's important for us to ask the right question, because we need that right answer, and it will not come until we ask the right question. Have you ever maybe misunderstood what God was doing in your life? Have you ever woke up and wondered out loud, God, what are you doing in my life? I know just enough to get lost and to be lost, but I don't know where to stop and who to ask for directions, because I am going through something I have never gone through before. I have no point of reference for those things in my life that I'm walking out. This is a dark season in my life, and I am looking for the light. I am looking for the exit sign. Nobody asked permission of me if I would like to get lost. God never asked me if this was a convenient time for my trial, but nonetheless, I am in the midst of it, and I am going through it. And when I look up, all I see is clouds. And I've learned not to say, well, at least things can't get any worse. I've said that once. Kind of like I prayed for patience once. Got married, and then it all began to become clear to me, the tool God would use to develop patience in me, a.k.a. long-suffering. Not that you've ever suffered in marriage, but there have been those who've been taught much patience through the marriage relationships. You know someone, say amen with a hearty amen. Amen. And so it's here that this morning, our journey is towards understanding what God is doing in our life, learning how to ask God the kinds of questions that doesn't incriminate our faith, but learning how to ask God the kind of question that unlocks our faith. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and that hearing comes by the word of God. See, you are people of faith, and you're building your lives on God's word. And it's here in this word that there is a voice that speaks to you, and it speaks to us. And it's important for us to read the word of God. You see, we are people of faith, and we live our lives on the word of God. And there's a voice that speaks from this word. And that's why it's so important, because it's God's voice, for us to read the word of God. Because it's here that our faith, it grows. It's here that our faith learns to know. Have you ever ran into someone that didn't know? They just didn't know. They were clueless. But don't tell them that, because they didn't know that they didn't know. But they acted and they talked like they knew. What we know about God is that, according to Romans 10 and 17, there is great faith that he possesses, and that he puts that faith in us, and that that faith comes as we hear his word. Today you're going to hear God speak something to your heart, and it's going to cause you to grow. It's going to cause you to want to apply it into your life in such a way that you don't incriminate yourself the next time you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, sometimes in our trial, we get to the place that we arrive in a pain of sorts that causes us to ask the right question. We are not questioning God, but we are asking God questions. And we are telling God the most important things. Lord, I have never been here before. This will teach me something about you that I have never known. And when I learn it, it will be the truth that according to John 8 and verse 30, true. How could a person put two and true together? But that God used them in that way. John 8 and 32 says, you shall know the truth. And by the application of that knowledge, you will be free. Today, God will teach you something about himself that you have never known. And you will have opportunity to apply it in a place of your life you have never been. And in that place where the darkness of your life and the trying of life has stolen from you your joy and kind of turned out the lights, in that place when you know and apply truth, the light's going to come on and you're going to rise up, and in your most holy faith, you are going to learn to be at peace in that dark place of your life, and you are going to learn to walk free and produce the fruit of God's Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. God works in mysterious ways. Have you ever found yourself praying and asking God to make you more loving? He doesn't come along with this little wand and go bring and put love dust all over you and suddenly you're just more loving. Have you noticed he'll put an unlovable person in your life and start to... Some of you are looking at each other in a strange way. I love being up here because I get to keep score. He'll put the unlovable in front of you and then he'll teach you how to love. Joy. He'll teach you how to find joy when there can't be any happiness found. And God will many times take you on an interstate, take you on a highway that you would never choose for yourself. This last week, I think an excellent example was that I traveled to the San Antonio Kerrville area. And there is a specific place in Kerrville that I like to stop and do my devotions, because this Hotel Minger makes this out of this world fruit plate. And they have the best coffee I have ever found. In fact, there's a family in this church that found out that I love that kind of coffee at the Hotel Minger in San Antonio, right on the Riverwalk. And so they called the Hotel Minger in San Antonio right there on the Riverwalk. And they said, hello, Hotel Minger? Is this the hotel on the Riverwalk right there in San Antonio that has the wonderful coffee? And the lady answered, said, yes, this is the Hotel Minger on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, and we have wonderful coffee. This individual, this family said, well, if this is the Hotel Minger on the Riverwalk in San Antonio, we'd like to buy some of this world famous coffee because our pastor loves it. And so they got like about 5 pounds of this coffee that they found in this place in, on the, at the. Now just pray and let the Lord use you. Do you just kind of feel him? Did I not tell you today you will find something and hear something that when you apply something, it will change your life and you will know something you never knew until you came today? So here I am, as God leads me through San Antonio, I'm about to take my exit. And we're talking about how sometimes God does not choose the same expressway or interstate or the same thought or way in our life that we sometimes do. I mean, my car is very comfortable. It knows how to find the hotel in, on, and so I'm just cruising on over to the Hotel Minger in San Antonio, and I am just about to make my exit when there's this great big sign that says, road closed due to construction. I bound every demon and every devil from hell. The word of the Lord rose up in me, and I heard the Lord say, I will make a way where there is no way. I knew no other way to get to the hotel in, on, And so I thought, well, surely this must apply to everybody else but me, because God would never lead me astray. And so I slowed down, caused a traffic jam, became the person that everybody rubbernecked over. And I was looking, could I get around the sign? When about that time, I heard a whoop, whoop, whoop. And there was a police officer, and he's like, and I could just hear in my heart, you have the right to remain silent, Pastor Thurstonson. So I was like, And I was frustrated because I wanted it my way. And I couldn't get my way. And I had no way of figuring out how to get back there. And I had to sacrifice that. And I had to make it into praise. I mean, I had passed up coffee shop after coffee shop, fruit plate after donut to get to the Hotel Minger in San Antonio on the Riverwalk. And I had gone out of my way to get there. It was not convenient for me not to get there. I was in crisis mode. And so I went the only way I knew. So I had to take an alternate route. And the whole time I kept thinking to myself, I'm lost, I'm lost, I'm lost. I should be pulling over, but there's nowhere to pull over. And it's like Houston, and that they think if we tear up one road, and that's a good thing, how great if it would be if we tore them all up. And I'm having to get to where I'm going, and I'm running out of time, and I'm starting to feel a temptation to let that frustration be spoken. And so it was then that finally I saw Loop 1604 and I knew where I was. I was on the other side of San Antonio. I was getting closer to my goal. Unbeknownst to me, I wasn't lost. I was making headway. I was headed due north. In fact, I might even be able to make up some time if I drove 95. And so as I got on Loop 1604, right there, it was just the will of God. It was the way that God works. He put something in my path that confirmed, this is my way, walk in it. Isn't God good like that? And so when I saw that 24-hour Krispy Kreme, I pulled right in there. I pulled right up. I looked like Jed Clampett, but I pulled in. And I felt the Lord say, double for your trouble. And I got me a large coffee, a glazed donut, and a chocolate ice-covered donut. And I got to my meeting on time, and I was heavily anointed when I got there. In that story so much, though, from everyday living, what sometimes you and I go through, we've picked something for our life. We've chosen something for our life. And we've sincerely believed this is God's will and God's way for our life. And indeed, it is. And yet along the journey of life, there comes these blockades, these barricades. The way that we had been living, the way that we had been going, has now been suddenly blocked. We cannot get to where we want to go. And God chooses an alternative route. He chooses an alternate way for you and I to go. Eventually, it gets us where we're going. It teaches us things like patience and trust and prayer and maturity along the way. Only to finally get to the other side of the traffic jam, the other side of the trial, the other side of what we had picked for ourselves, only to find the truth of Romans 8:28 at a whole nother level. And now we know that all things work together for good. Shout all things. God's kind of in the insurance business. He's not Allstate, but He is the Lord of all things. And there are many, many times that while we're taking our test and we're doing the driving test of spiritual driver's education, we don't understand what God is doing. In fact, we're very tempted to even question whether God is working on our behalf and if God even really loves us. And it's not until we get through the thing a little ways that we can look back and even look at our things and say, all things, even that thing that seemed to impede my progress, that seemed to stop my faith, that seemed to stunt my growth, is now starting to work on my behalf. I know some of you are worried. You're thinking, we have not even read our text. And do you realize how long he's been going and that it's 11:30? I'm one of the dwarfs. Hi ho, hi ho, hi ho. It's off to the restaurant I go. I've got places to go, people to see, and things to do. Yes, he realizes that. But along your journey, I want you to understand that God is. Shout, God is.
God is.
God is faithful. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes you have to break yesterday, today, and forever up into three different compartments. We all have a yesterday. Yesterday, all my problems. I wasn't going there. No. But obviously, sunshine, you was. Okay. I really was, but you beat me to it and stole my thunder, and I felt alone. Sometimes we have to look at our yesterdays, and we have to borrow the strength and the courage and the trust in God's faithfulness in our yesterdays to give us our ability to keep walking today, because there are many things about today I don't even understand. I don't even seem to understand. And then I look at my tomorrows and I get overwhelmed thinking, if I'm not being victorious today, if I'm not understanding what God is doing today, if I am in this much pain, and if I'm this troubled, and if I'm this lost today, well, then how much hope will I really have for tomorrow? All that to say, there are many times that not only will we not understand the troubles that we're going through, but many times we won't understand where God is and what God is doing in the midst of what we're going through. And we have to look back in our yesterdays, and we have to learn from our yesterdays just how faithful God is. And in that place, we have to have the kind of faith that speaks God's word. God is not limited when he speaks his word to our yesterdays, to our todays, or to our tomorrows. God is beyond that. God is above that. But God uses all of that to teach us how to trust in him. You see, it's from learning who God is in our life that we can apply that to where we are in life. And as we apply what we know and be people of faith in what we're walking through, God will come and back his word up. Sometimes in the middle of what you don't understand, you have to speak faith. You have to tell yourself that when God brings me out of something, he doesn't just bring me out into a desert to die. He doesn't just bring me out into a famine so there'll be nothing to eat or nothing to drink. You have to build your faith. You have to stir up your faith. And you have to stand in that place and say, "For God hath not given unto me a spirit of fear, but he has given unto me power. He has given unto me love. He has given unto me a soundness of mind." I'm not just embraced by the power of a Moses in me who can bring me out of an Egypt, but I've got a little spirit of Joshua in me, and it will bring me into the promises of God. And today I will be strong. I will be courageous to the pulling down of strongholds. For greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. I am not going to forsake God when it feels like, according to the enemy, he has forsaken me. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he has promised me he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my spirit. He is my God. He is the Lord God Almighty, and I'll be John Brown if I don't get back into the bed that I rolled out of and got off the day on the wrong foot by getting off on the wrong side of the bed. I will get back in bed. I will roll out the other side of the bed, get my day started over, and be the joy of the Lord, and let the joy of the Lord be my strength. I am not lost. He's in the midst of finding me. Amen. I will pick up the GPS. Right. Let's try that again. I will pick up the GPS. Yes. And the UPS of heaven will find me. Yeah. I will not be MIA. Amen. I've run out of initials. But my mother-in-law says, the IRS. Some of you are looking at the back door. Where? But see, it's important for us to understand some things about how the Lord works. Because, friend, He is just as faithful when you don't feel as when you do feel. I mean, think about how good God's been. Some of you got saved one time. I mean, you was really gone. And you told yourself there's no hope for your life, but look what God did. Amen. I said He's faithful. Yes. And so it's here that I want us to recognize that there is a divine wind of change in the air. And I wonder, can you feel the wind of God's Holy Spirit beginning to blow outside? There is a perfect storm brewing in the Holy Spirit realm. And some of you are rolling your eyes and you're thinking to yourself, not another storm. Not another storm in my spiritual gulf. But friend, it's not the kind of storm that devastates and destroys, but it's the kind of storm that begins to reconcile, replace, and restore things. You see, now when I go to San Antonio, I know a whole new way of getting through the city. I know another place that God can bless me. Like Scripture, I mark that place. Change. I believe we're moving in and out of a season of chaos and crisis and controversy. I think there's been compromise in the hearts of way too many Christians. But I believe in this season of God kind of blocking certain pathways in our life, I believe He is stirring us and moving us to look at things in a different way. And He's rearranging what has seemed to be an obstacle, and He's making it an opportunity. And opportunities are so important because they create the context, the environment, and the atmosphere needed for change. You see, change is not always a bad thing. Change can create an expectancy in you that becomes an attitude of expectancy that is the necessary spirit and attitude for the breeding ground of the miraculous. The Spirit of God is even now moving upon the face of things that you and I have been fighting in our life, and He is about to change everything. Amen. Webster says that change means to make or become radically different, to alter or transform, to take, to put, or use in place of another, to switch or exchange, to put fresh covering or fresh clothes on, to undergo a modification or a transformation. Wouldn't it be something if it was in your body today that God decided, I'm going to order change. Yeah. You've been sick, but I'm going to radically transform you. And what the doctor could not do, what the enemy has said, your prayers availeth little, boom. Amen. Or bam, there it is. What if you've had to arrange your life around a problem, a stronghold, a strong force, a strong presence of the enemy, and God just came and said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and by my Word, you are now free. Boom! And your whole life suddenly changed. And for the four of us who are believing for that, we read John chapter 1 that says this very thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. Some of us are trapped in a season of darkness. When you take this original understanding of this scripture, we realize that darkness can't comprehend light. It can't overcome the light. It can't extinguish or put out the light. What God is saying in our lives is that He is not just our life, but He is our light. And no matter what the dark place in our life has been, God in one word can speak light. And suddenly everything in your life that's been dark can now have light. Everything that has felt and been like death can now feel and be like life. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I think it's important for you to understand that He was the beginning. So He was before anything our lives have experienced, both good and bad. Genesis chapter 1 says in the first verse, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, upon the face of that which was without form, that which was void, that which was having darkness upon it, into the face of the deep, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, what's amazing is when you study the original context of language, you recognize that our English language could not capture the strength of what God was saying. But in the original context of language, it doesn't say, and God said, let there be light. It just records that God looked at that which was without form and void and was covered in darkness into the face of the deep. He looked at it and he said one word. And guess what? There was light. And he called it a good thing. He's looking at you and he knows your dark place. And he knows that it's dark into the deepest parts of your waters. And so in your deepest part, Lord says light. It's going to be light. The enemy likes to put you on the layaway plan. He likes to put you on the layaway plan and tell you that your miracle is like 3 months away, 6 months away, 9 months away, 12 months away. Because he knows Proverbs says that hope deferred, answered prayer deferred, makes a heart sick. He leads you to believe that that thing in your life that's deep, dark, ugly, and impossible is going to take a real long time. Maybe not ever. And he overwhelms us with discouragement and hopelessness. And God overwhelms us with his word. And he says, oh, I can take that thing and in one word just say, light.
Light.
And you'll see the light. And more than you seeing the light, God will have spoken the light. And God sees the light. And from this we learn that God has great love for us. And here's some things I want to throw at you now. In this passage of scripture in Genesis 1, where it refers to the earth being without form, let us remind ourselves that again, in the beginning, what? Was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So ever before this got started, there was God. Before there was a place that was without form, there was God. Before there was a place that had darkness upon it, and everything felt empty and vain and useless, before all that, there was God. This terminology without form comes from an unused root meaning to lie waste. It's a desolation of surface. It's a desert. Figuratively, it means a worthless thing. Adverbially, it means in vain. He's saying that he knows these are going to be things in our life. But before these things were here, he was there. He was before the beginning. Now the King James, okay, the other Bible says this term means a place of confusion, emptiness, a space without a form. Nothingness refers to what is empty or unreal, such as idols. It talks about the things that are vain, wilderness places, wasteland. It's used of solitary places. And this word without form also means that the earth was a place of chaos. Does that sound like your week last week? And God is saying to us, before it was a place of chaos, I was, I is, and I always will be. Now, these words or this expression, the word void, comes from an unused root, meaning to be empty. It's a vacuum. It's a blankness. Superficially, it means an undistinguishable room. A ruin. Ever have a ruined place in your life? It's just ruined. There's nothing we can do with it. And God is saying here that when you are walking through a time in your life, and you will, there will be dark places. Yea, though you walk through the valley that is a place of chaos and ruined, I will be with you. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why you and I have got to plant and place our lives on this word. It cannot be just a Sunday morning experience. It has to be a Monday morning discipline, a Tuesday morning devotion, a Wednesday morning wow, a Thursday morning thrust. It has to be a freaky Friday afternoon thing. It has to be a supernatural, super Saturday kind of thing in our life. We've got to sometimes just put the word down. Yea, though I walk through the valley that is filled with chaos, though there be crisis, though it seemed like everything be ruined in my life, though it seemed like I disqualify myself from the promises of God that are yes and amen, I will not listen to the assignment against me. I will not listen to the thoughts that plague me and attack me. I will not let the enemy prosper against me. When I am weak, I will stand on the word of God and I will be strong. When I am poor, then he'll have to be rich. I have not come this far to turn back now. I will make the conscious decision to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And what I can't take care of, I'll just have to tell them, you'll need to talk to my supervisor. Ever go to buy something and not like how the clerk is treating you? And so you have to take what you don't like and ask, do you have a boss? I'd like to speak to your manager. And them go get the manager, because you are taking your frustration and you are taking it to another level. You're looking for a higher authority. This is the discipline that you and I must learn in our lives, that when we come to the place that we are trying to do spiritual business and the clerk of the enemy comes against us, we have to stand on the word and say, I am going to ask for a second opinion. I don't want to speak to your manager. I don't want to speak to your boss. I don't want to speak to the one that's in charge here. I'm going to speak to the one that's in charge here. I want a moment to talk to my supervisor. I want to take a moment to talk to my boss. Excuse me, I'll be right back. My manager has something to say to you. You can only do that for you. We learn a couple, two or three things about God from these passages of Scripture. We learn how God uses our problems and our places of chaos and confusion to give birth to his purpose in our lives. That his purpose, his presence, and his provision was really there all the time. That he is just waiting for the opportunity to speak through us, change everything, and cause everybody that's been watching us to walk through the valley, he's waiting for us to demonstrate a Christ-likeness so that everyone can see, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Chapter 4. In our military, and he protects our freedoms as he stands on the wall. This morning he is here with his beautiful son and wife, and we just bless you and say thank you for standing at the wall for us. God bless you. And to see our dear friend Teresa Graham, who this time last week, actually it was a Tuesday of last week, we sat with her as she celebrated the homegoing of her husband. And our hearts go out to you this morning, Teresa. And we remind you that you are a very dear part of our lives and our ministry here at Dominion Church. And though we know that Al be with the Lord this morning, we thank God that you are here with us and that we can be a voice of strength and love and encouragement to you. And so for those of you that may not see her, she's right here. She is the Vice President of Interfaith Ministries here in Clear Lake. And God bless her and her mom that is here with us this morning. Some of my loudest amens have come from this corner. So if you'd like to borrow a few from them, just ask them. God has the right to call to things in my life that be not as though they were. See, God can put a barricade in my life and carry me to another place, a higher place. It says in verse 17, beginning in chapter 4 of Romans, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope. Abraham had run out of hope. Against all hope, he chose to stand on the word that was and is to come. And it says, in hope, he believed. And so he had this promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. And yet it seemed like the promise God gave him caused him to be going backwards fast. Ever feel like that? Someone pray for you and give you great hope, give you a prophetic word, only for it to feel like somebody put your spiritual calling in reverse. And you are driving away from the place you were headed toward. So I kept looking in the mirror hoping when I was in San Antonio looking for the Minger Hotel on the... I kept hoping for another space. I kept hoping and longing to go back to that place. But there was nowhere I could go. I kept getting further and further away from that thing that was precious to my heart. Now that's just a simple, silly little story. But I think it really makes spiritual sense when sometimes you and I have this great hope, this great promise. We believe God wants to change things in our life and we want to make a change. And so we begin to do the things that bring the change only for it to make it seem as if we're getting further and further and further away from the thing we were hoping for. I think that might have helped one person. If that's you, raise your hand and say, thank you, Pastor Greg. And as I was getting further and further away from it, I found if I wasn't really careful, I would be looking in the rearview mirror at what I thought I was losing instead of getting a vision of quite possibly what was before me and what I might have to give up in order to gain. Sometimes you and I get so addicted to our way, our things, our wants, that when God puts a frustration in our path, we get frustrated with God and with others. Because it seems like we're getting further and further and further away from what God has truly ordered for our lives, but we're getting further and further away from what we've ordered. But we find here, that's the truth in Abraham's life, but watch what God does. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so he became the father of many nations, just as the word, just as God had said to him. So shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah, since she was about 90, her womb too was also dead. Yet, even though it seemed like everything around him be barren and dead, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now, that's not an easy thing. When it seems like you're getting further and further away from your promise to give glory to God in the place that feels barren and dead. Amen. That's hard. That's faith. But Scripture says he was fully persuaded that God had to do, or God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Some of you have a reason to grow righteousness in your life right now. Because you are walking in a season of barren and dead things. And you are tempted by the enemy to feel like it is fruitless. It is futile. That all of your praying and that all of God's promises in your life have been in vain. And you're just about tempted to quit and give up. You feel like you're getting further and further away from what you have been promised. And you're about ready to throw up the driving wheel of your spiritual life. Quit and give up. And yet, you've got to give up what's behind you so that your hands will be empty in order for you to take a hold of that which is before you. Amen. Abraham did that. In a dead place, he said, surely God is faithful. He praised God anyway. So we're going to take a praise break. We're going to give God glory in the things that seem barren and desolate in our life. So you're going to need both hands for this. Get them ready. Lord, we just praise you. We just give you glory. We just praise you. This is not easy for me, God. I am tempted to stagger. I'm tempted, Lord, to stagger. I want to be faithful. I want to let go of the thing that won't let go of me. But God, it's hard. Because I don't see anything in the natural that confirms I'm headed in the right direction. Oh God, if your strength does not come to me, I will stagger. If you do not make a way where there is no way, God, I will give up. So God, I regard your promise and I speak your promise and I say they are yes, they are amen. God, speak to my dead thing. Speak to my barren body. I feel like Abraham. Unless you're a female, you'll say, I feel like Sarah. Go ahead, tell the Lord. We're done. Next week, I'm going to talk about how God will change things in your life, how He has the right to change your mind about how you do things. Stay standing. You've created the altar call. Thank you. Some of us are really hurting this morning because we chose an interstate. We chose a highway. We chose an expressway, and we were well on our way. We didn't just see the city limits. We were in the city only to arrive at the place we were headed toward and find that the entrance had been cut off. And now, against all hope, we're about to just give up. Are you breathing? And God has the right to speak to things and call to things that are not as though they were. You see, Abraham kept his faith and kept his hope when there was no reason to have faith. And there was no longer any hope. See, that's when sometimes you and I incriminate ourselves. This is when faith works the greatest, when there's no reason to have faith. This is when you need hope the most. It's when there's no reason to have hope. That's when you have to go back to, like Abraham did, back to what God said. God was not playing a cruel joke on Abraham and Sarah, but it sure felt like it. And sometimes, friend, it's going to feel like it when God speaks His way. God will have His way in our life. And it can be with or without us. And some of you are not understanding what God is trying to do. And so in this season of not understanding, you're incriminating your faith and you're putting yourself in a place that God can't bless. Abraham said to himself, I have waited 100 years for this thing. I am not going to give up now. I have every reason to give up. I have every excuse to give up. I have every reason to quit being faithful. I have been told no so many times, I have forgotten what the sound of yes and amen sounds like. You see, in God's ways, He empties us. He brings us to a place of emptying us of our own ability so that we might know and see Him demonstrate His ability. Abraham stood in a place and he refused to stagger. And I just want to tell you, campers, buck up. Buck up, campers. Refuse to come this far and allow the enemy to give you reason to stagger. Amen. That if you don't understand what God is doing, can I say, welcome to the club. If you can't figure out, if you can't put a formula about those things in your life going on right now that you can't seem to get through, welcome to the club. But I've said all this to say and to remind you, God is. God is. And in the middle of having no hope and no faith, Abraham chose faith. As for me and my house, we're just going to choose faith. We're just going to be faithful. Instead of leaving church to go find ourselves, we're going to come to church. And devil, we used to sit on the third row, but you're going to pay for this trial. We're moving up to the second row now. I'm even going to be nicer to pastor. I know that's a real stretch, but I'm going to do it. I know you're hurting this morning, but there's not anything I have in the natural that can help you. I know that many of you are without hope and you're tempted to stagger and you're tempted to quit on the promises of God that are yes and amen. But God says this morning, hey, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished yet. But God, the book is over and the movie's done. And the Lord says, sequel, baby, sequel. Part 2. You thought the last chapter in the book was chapter 13? You was bankrupt and barren? I'm going to write another chapter. Chapter 14. So stand. Don't stagger. And stretch your spiritual hearts and antennas to the Lord and make this a place of praise. God, I just call you faithful. It's up to you now, God. It is not my problem. But it sure is yours. Lord, I need hope. I need healing. I need power. And I need supernatural strength. And so, Lord, I magnify you this morning with my praise. And I declare that I will not stagger. I will be strong in the Lord. I will be strong in the power of your might. And I will bring you glory in this barren, dead place. In the midst of confusion, I will cry out and say that God is faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not left me. He has not forsaken me. If he can do it for Abraham, he can do it for me. If he can do it for Sarah, he can do it for me. If there is a power that can raise Christ from the dead, then oh God, pour that power out in me. Raise me from the dead. Give me hope and give me strength. Give the Lord praise and honor this morning. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about your frustration. Do you know that God takes your frustration and he tailor makes it to improve your spiritual maturity? We're going to talk about that next week. Frustration.